Relationships. We all have different levels of relationships with people. I mean, I can say, well, I know them, whoever they may be. And we might. We might know them by name or, you know, acquaintances passing in the hallway or something like that. But we don't really know them. But who do you know the best? People whose words should influence us, people that we trust, people whose lives we're in relationship with that grow together. Who do you know the best? Think about that a second. For me, as you can imagine, my spouse, my wife, Tricia, is who I know the best. I know the color of her eyes. I know what she smells like. I know how she likes her grilled cheese sandwiches. I know her strengths. I know what she's passionate about. I know what happens if you mess with her kids. I know her love of sunsets and how she misses Oklahoma thunderstorms. And I know how to bring her joy, and I know how much that she loves me. But I also know what she perceives to be her own faults. I know her vulnerabilities. I know how to push her buttons. I know how to hurt her, how to cause her pain. Relationships, real relationships. Now, this level of knowledge was not there 26 years ago when we first met, nor was it there 22 years ago when we first got married. Gaining this knowledge took time. Some of that knowledge came through intentional learning. Others of that knowledge came by trial, by error, because we make a lot of mistakes in relationships. Of that knowledge came by me watching her in relationship with other people. And some of the knowledge came from her relationship with me and how that relationship molded me over the years into a better person. Getting to know somebody, truly know them, is complex. It has its ups and downs. It's a journey. It really never ends. There's always something new. I hear in conversation, you know, that plea for God to just spell it out for us, whatever it happens to be. Well, in today's gospel, we get a little bit of that, it being spelled out for us. We just heard the first 11 verses of Jesus' prayer, which came just prior to his arrest. This isn't the prayer before the arrest that you're used to hearing. It's not the one that you think about. He's not alone in a garden. He is not in distress, and his disciples aren't off sleeping. This prayer happens in relationship out in the open. It happens at a table with his disciples. They had just shared a meal and a very long and informative conversation. First three verses of this prayer say, after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There it is. There it's spelled out. There's that gift to us. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, and that they may know Jesus. Eternal life. I don't think that's normally what we think about when, how do we grasp eternal life? What do we relate to when we hear that word? I don't think that in our lives we will say eternal life is to know God and Jesus. It's not usually how we connect those. Caroline Lewis, associate professor of preaching at Luther Seminary, says this: of course, what it means to know God is key, and to know God in the fourth gospel has no connection to cognitive constructions, creedal consents, or specified knowledge of relationship with God. Eternal life, to know God in Jesus, is not about what we think about God or the beliefs that we profess in a creed or about any secret specific knowledge that we possess about God and Jesus. Eternal life is being in relationship with God. How can the Gospel of John, because that is where this understanding, where this gift of it just being handed to us comes from, how can the Gospel of John then help us to know God and help us to know Jesus? Well, I could probably be here all afternoon, but there are some things that over the stretch of the gospel that I want to pull out. Well, we know that God is incarnate. Very poetically, we know that. And so being in relationship with an incarnate God is possible. Now, through John the Baptist, we learn that God does send people to call us, to help change us, to move us in directions that restore our relationships with God. Cares enough to send somebody. I know from the Gospels that God invites people to come and see. Come and see what it's like to be in relationship with God. An invitation wants that. I know from the wedding of Cana the importance of that turning the water into wine had nothing to do with that being necessarily this great miracle. It had to do with restoring or preventing the loss of shame and dishonor for that family. That God would just say, we cannot allow this to happen. If you run out of wine at a party, that family, particularly a wedding party, that family is going to be shamed, and that's no way to start a covenantal relationship together. We learn from Nicodemus that, you know, sometimes we have to sneak in and ask questions to know God. We have to learn new things. We have to always seek new answers. We can't settle for the way that we've always known it to be. We learn that to know God means that who can be in relationship with God is much larger than any circle that you can put God in a box or anything like that in, because, you know, we have the woman at the well who was a foreigner, outcast. She was lost. Yet, what a holy relationship that was created between her and Jesus. And, you know, the official from Cana just begging for the life of his son. If these folks can be in relationship with Jesus, I can too. We know that healing comes from Jesus in multiple ways, and in John we hear about the man who was ill that is sitting at the sheep gate. His healing didn't come for him professing anything to Jesus or calling out his name or asking to be healed. Jesus asked him a question, and he simply just answered it. That was it. No request for healing ever happened, yet Jesus gave it to him. What a loving, generous God to know, to experience in our lives. We know that we in this journey with God, we just don't always understand. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is walking across the water, and the disciples are confused. They can't even comprehend what's going on. And then all of a sudden, they're at the shore, and they just keep going on their journey. In John's gospel, we know that walking with God in our relationship, we just don't always get it. We know the importance of the Eucharist in our lives. John's words about that are numerous, but he does say, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." We know about stereotypes. To be in a relationship with God, we can't use them, because nothing good came out of Galilee. We just can't project what we think we know about other people. We have to actually be in relationship with them to know God. We know about the woman who was caught in adultery, about to be stoned, and Jesus. We know Jesus and God is a forgiving and loving God, because he says, I don't condemn you. Now, go live in a way that creates relationship with God. Go and sin no more. We know about honesty, a line that I'm curious if it ever shows up. I should have looked in our Sunday lectionary. And it's a line that I had forgotten. I read John cover to cover this week in one sitting, which is, I encourage it. But it said that those who don't tell the truth, those who lie, are actually taking on the nature of the father of lies. And then it says the devil. When we don't tell the truth, then we're not in relationship with God. We can't know God and not be authentic and true in our relationships with people. We know about to be in a relationship with God requires us to get out of our comfort zone and out of our walls, because he says that we must do the work that God sent us, God sent Jesus to do. We must do that work. We're going to do even greater works than that to be in relationship with God. We know that each of our relationships with God can look different. They're not going to look the same, because our relationship is different. It could be, as we look at the gospel, lounging around at the table with friends. That could be a very strong image in the gospel, Jesus. We could be serving those people at the table and be in relationship with Jesus. We can be anointing Jesus. We can be anointing somebody just through our relationships to help them through a hard stage or into a new stage of life. That's to know God. We know about washing of feet. We get that in John. And that we have to serve others in that way. You can't be Jesus' friend. Literal feet washing, okay. Tending other people, not saying somebody else is below you, that you're going to serve them in such a way, and for them the washing of feet was nasty. We learned to be in relationship with God, we have to love others as Christ loves us. We know, and we'll learn even more about it next week. We've been actually hearing that they've been sneaking in the last couple weeks, that Jesus will not leave us alone. Be in relationship with God, we're not going to be abandoned. There's going to be an advocate. It's going to continue with us. God, we learn from Peter that even if we betray God three times, deny him flat out, that Jesus is going to say, "Hey, buddy, do you love me?" Yes, that forgiveness given to us. Okay, we're forgiven. Now let's go feed people. Let's go take care of people. We learn this in our relationship, what it means to be in relationship with God. So does knowing that eternal life is knowing, just knowing. Eternal life is knowing God and Jesus. Does that change how we live? I mean, if I think about trying to live up to a whole bunch of rules and trying to get a scorecard out there, trying to live our life that way, simply follow, let's make a burnt offering to God so we're in good. No, Jesus did away with that. It's about relationships. Does knowing that eternal life, that it doesn't come from what we think about God or the beliefs we profess in the creed or any secret knowledge, does knowing that eternal life doesn't come from that, does that change the way that we enter in relationship with the divine and each other? Does it change the way we're in relationship with people we don't know or the people that we know the best? Now, we got the little first taste of the prayer. And it's, again, such an important thing because Jesus shared it with everybody. He wanted them to know this. This was important. This wasn't something he was off just praying by himself. But the last two verses are important. Well, they're all important. Of course, it's the gospel. But the last two verses tie in so much with today that I need to say those two verses too. That he says, "Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them." Wow. What if we loved God and the divine, Jesus, Holy Spirit, that whole Trinity thing in such a way that we knew the color of God's eyes? When we're in relationship with people and we're right there face to face and we see God's eyes in the other person. What if our relationship with God was so intimate that if he ate grilled cheese, that we would know exactly how God wanted grilled cheese? Or we knew all those secrets in that relationship because we've shared them. I don't know. If we knew God, let's just go at least the amount that we know the person that we know the best. Let's just go there. We really want to know God more, but let's just go there. If we knew God, that if that eternal life that we get from God, if we know God at least equally to the amount that we know the person best here, that relationship that we have with God and us living out in our knowledge of God, it would change the world. Amen.